Time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 26, verse 26, Joshua chapter 6, verse 26. We're going to begin reading there, and we'll read into the seventh chapter as well. So while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope now that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study today. Joshua chapter 6, verse 26. And Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, "Cursed be the man before the Lord that raiseth up and buildeth this city, Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it." So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. And the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and it angered the Lord. The anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, "Go up and view the country." And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, "Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few." So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men. And they fled before the men of Ai. The men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, "Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us unto the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we have been content and dwelt on the other side Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? And to the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall environ us around, and cut off our names from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name?" And the Lord said unto Joshua, "Get thee up, wherefore liest thou thus on thy face?" We're going to stop with that 10th verse and begin there. Father, please that you'll guide and lead us. We come to you in prayer that you will lead us through this study and give us the strength that we need. Each and every day we need your strength, we need your wisdom. And please, dear Lord, that you would just touch every one of our hearts with this study. It's such a joy to study the Word of God as we have the opportunity through each week to not only have the study here on the radio, but also with the Sunday school, church, Sunday night, Tuesday afternoon, Wednesday night. That's just, Father, when you allow us to come and be together. And I ask that you just will touch every heart and bless those that are faithful to come and be under the Word. And it's just such a joy to be almost from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation in a week's time. And it's such a joy, Father, to enjoy just a few verses of so many areas of your Word to touch our hearts and to change our lives each week. And thank you that you have burdened us and shown us your way to study your Word and to allow it to touch our hearts and to change our lives. Now, please, dear Lord, just guide and lead us through this study today and show us your way and will. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This 26th verse here is kind of a sad verse. We find that the city of Jericho was destroyed. It was destroyed exactly the way God said it would be. And we know that Rahab the harlot and her family and their goods were all taken and protected. What a wonderful day to watch as God can divide. He can destroy the wicked and save the saved. And he did that. We just need to understand that he can do that in our lives today. If there are, you know, we live in a nation that has become very, very wicked because it's become very, very ungodly. And when we leave the presence of God, and even most of our churches today have become a Christless and bloodless, they have taken away the offering that Jesus did on the cross of Calvary as he shed his blood there. They have taken him and his precious blood out of the picture in most of our services today because those things offend people, and so we don't want to do that. Well, that's a joke, that's a lie, and we preach the truth, we stand upon it, and we know that Christ is our Savior, and we preach Christ crucified and risen again. And the only way of salvation is to have faith in him, period. That is God's grace. We find as we look at these folks here and we see Rahab is saved and the occupants of Jericho other than them are destroyed. And the verse 21 tells us they utterly destroyed all that were in the city, both men and women, young and old, ox and sheep and ass, with the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as I swore unto her. And the young man that were spied that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had, and they brought out all her kindred and all them without the camp of Israel. What a wonderful day. And verse 25 says, and Joshua saved Rahab, the harlot alive, and her father's house, and all that she had. And she dwelt in Israel even unto this day. Speaking of when this was recorded, what a joy to watch the grace of God and the power of God, the strength of God. And we find that the city of Jericho was so wicked that God put a curse upon anyone that would build the city again. And we find in 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 34, that this has come to pass. It was an ungodly king named Ahab, and it's from chapter 16, 33 through 34, if you would like to go to that with me. I hope that you know your Bible. I hope that you can find, you know, it's one thing to sing the books of the Bible. It's another thing to be able to turn God's precious Word and find the books, chapters, and verses as we study. And that way, because Scripture confirms Scripture, so we have to stay in line with that. Now, as we look at look at 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 33 and 34. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. What an accomplishment. And in his days did Hiel the Bethelite build Jericho, and he laid the foundation thereof in Abiam his firstborn, and set up the gates thereof in his youngest son Segub, according to the word of the Lord, which was spake by Joshua the son of Nun. It came to pass that the one that tried Cursed be the man before the Lord. I'm back in Joshua 6:26. Cursed be the man before the Lord that raiseth up and build by the city of Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and his youngest son shall he set upon the gates there of it. It has come to pass. And again, that's King Ahab. It's some 525 years later, and it is found in 1 Kings chapter 16, verses 33 and 34. The destruction of Israel was the beginning of the fulfillment of God's word. And we find that because of this, this first victory here, not only, you know, it started with the parting of the Jordan River as they come across, they sought after Joshua and his power and his strength. And it continues here in verse 27. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. And so we find that Joshua is taking his rightful place here. God has ordained him into that position as the leader of the people and the spokesman between him and the people. Soon begin to put the tabernacle, all those things will come into place here, and we know that Aaron was originally the high priest, and we know that he has since died, and so, but a high priest each time, and it was to be only one high priest, but he was actually the go-between. The high priest is the one that intervenes between man and God and God and man so that the two can communicate. And we know, as we said earlier, that this is today becoming a Christless and a bloodless religions that we have everywhere. We know that it can't be. And we have this picture in the tabernacle because only upon coming forward towards the Holy of Holies, towards the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat, never would the high priest ever enter without the blood. Always had to have the blood of the goat. There was two goats. There was in this picture, it was all on the Day of Atonement. If you need to study the Word of God, you know, go back into Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy, read through those books, and you'll find wonderful studies concerning this Day of Atonement. And you'll find and understand, as you go to the book of Hebrews, then you'll understand it, because all of it is built upon those previous books, and especially the book of Leviticus. Now that we have found that Joshua has been put into place, we're going to read very quickly here, and we've already read that first verse of chapter 7, verse 1, and we find that Achan has taken of the cursed thing, and we are told that that should not happen. He made that very clear that no one, the whole principle of how it was to take place and everything, but verse 18 of the previous chapter, chapter 6, and ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing. Let ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel accursed and trouble it. Now we know in verse 19, but all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. No one was to keep anything for themselves, none. And we find that Achan here didn't hearken to that. He just looked at it, and just a little bit too much for him to stand, and so he has hidden this away. Well, let's see what happens now. And we're going to kind of skip over for just a little bit this first verse and go on to verse 2. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven, to the east side of Bethel. You'll find that Ai is north and just a little bit west and a little bit north, about 10 miles from Jericho. And so that's their next city. That's the next place to go. I believe that was God-led. And so go up and view the country in verse 2. And men went up and viewed Ai in verse 2. Now verse 3, and they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but a few. There is no reason, Joshua, here as these spies went up, so there's no reason, Joshua, to send everybody. Let the others rest. There'll be time and battles greater than this. And so just let them rest, and we can go up and take care of this town of Ai, this city of Ai, and no big deal. You know, Jericho, now that was a different story, but now Ai, that is just nothing. And so, you know, we took Jericho, we'll take Ai. Well, how many times do we do the same thing? We forget who our God is and how powerful He is and how that He desires for us to listen to Him and pay attention to Him. We don't pay attention to Him. We do our own thing, and we develop programs in the church so that we can get more people in to get them saved, and we don't realize that because of those programs, many, many times, the power of God is just taken from us. The power of God is just sucked away. God takes it away because He said, I want you to depend on Me. I want you to study the Word of God. I don't want you to have these programs. And that's in most of the cases, and it just is almost in every case that a program replaces the Word of God. And a program is put into place because the Spirit of God is already gone. And they need something to drum up people to come, to have people to begin to work and to change. And, you know, we're always desiring that people search the Word of God. We're always desiring that they grow. And we're always desiring that people are saved. But it's not done through programs. It has got to be done with the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's the only way. And if you come in and the Spirit of God is not in a place, then please, you know, go to another. But you see that it's the place, you know, just because you're not comfortable with a place, just because you don't feel good about a certain church that you're going to, see what they stand on. If they stand upon the Word of God, if they teach the Word of God, if they preach the Word of God, they preach salvation by grace and grace alone, without any works connected to it, you take a look, because it may not be the church, it may be you. You may be the one that's not comfortable. You just don't feel good because you're so far away from the Lord, may not even be saved. And so, please, ask Jesus to come into your heart and save you. He died on the cross of Calvary for you, and at the same time then ask Him to help you to grow. And so we find here that Joshua, he sent men up to Ai. They went up and spied the city out. They came back, said, it's nothing. You know, let's send a couple, 3,000 men. It'll be plenty because they're just, it's no big deal. And for they are but a few, the end of verse 3 says, so there went up thither of the people 3,000, about 3,000 men. And we find something that happened here that was unexpected. The soldiers didn't expect it, the army didn't expect it, Joshua didn't expect it, and the people back home didn't expect it, and probably Ai didn't expect it, because they had just witnessed a couple of great events, the parting of the Jordan River, the defeat of the enemies before that, and then the defeat of Jericho. And as all that takes place, that news went throughout the country like a wildfire. And people knew what was happening, and they knew the God of Israel was mighty and powerful. And all of a sudden here, we find that they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And then verse 6, Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth, and so did the elders of Israel with him. What happened? What happened? Why did they watch such a victory at Jericho and see such a defeat with this little city, this little area of Ai? Well, what has happened? What has happened? God gave the victory with Jericho. They looked at Ai, and Ai was so little, they didn't need God. Hey, we can take it. It's just a few. There's just not many. And so let's not even send up the whole army because we don't need them. Look what we did with Jericho, and we're going to go take care of Ai with just a blink of an eye. It's going to be nothing. Well, so quickly, isn't it something? Almost the same day, it would appear. Did God take and give a victory of Jericho and just within days before delivered them across the Jordan River on dry land, left the memorials, showed the power of our Lord Jesus Christ as he stood, as the priest stood lifting up this Ark of the Covenant as all the people passed by and watched that water being walled back and they were walking on dry ground. What a power our God has. And in such a short period of time, then they moved up to Jericho and watched the victory there. But they didn't have to go in and tear the walls down. They didn't have to break the gates down. God tore it all down. It all fell down. And who didn't die there come fleeing out, and all Israel had to do was to basically hold up the sword and put to death every man, woman, child, and all the animals because everything was cursed in that city. And God didn't want any of that. And so he said, destroy it all except the silver, the gold, and the vessels of brass and iron. They're consecrated unto the Lord, and they shall come into the treasury of the Lord. That was the directions given, and you'll find that in verse 19 of chapter 6. Now we get back to Ai. They come up to Ai, and they get beaten, badly beaten. Some die, and runs the rest of them back home with their tail between their legs, so to speak, and here they come, and they're just scared to death. And what happened? Joshua didn't know what happened. The elders of Israel didn't know what happened. The army didn't know what happened. I'm not sure Ai understood what happened. Because all of a sudden, when they stood up against this mighty enemy that didn't have any trouble taking down Jericho, now Ai defeated them. And we find that it destroyed them so much that they're going down, wherefore the hearts of the people melted. The hearts of the people melted and became as water. Now, that same thing was said as we look back here in Joshua chapter 2, verse 3. Joshua 2, verse 3. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are going, that have come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they have come to search out our country. And if you'll look at that area of scripture, we'll find as the spies went in and found Rahab, then the 11th verse gives a report. And as soon as we had heard these things, our heart did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. Speaking of the spies which represented the nation of Israel. And for the Lord your God, I'm back in the 11th verse of chapter 2, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and earth beneath. Therefore I pray, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token. Let me live, is what she's asking for. And so the very melting of the heart in the land of Canaan, and specifically in the city of Jericho, now we come back and we find that same condition is found in the nation of Israel, and specifically in the people, the army, the soldiers. They come back beaten. They come back and they cannot understand what happened. They don't understand. Well, number one, if you'll look in those verses above us here, you'll find that there doesn't appear to be any place where this says, okay, God, we have searched it out like we did Jericho, and we found that it is a much smaller city. Now give us instructions on how we are to take it. Now please, dear Father, show us. And there is no mention of that. It's little, Jericho was big, we'll take it. They forgot already that God gave the victory in Jericho. God did that. And God could have given the victory here in Ai, but there's a problem. Because someone in the camp did something wasn't supposed to. Achan of the tribe of Judah did something he wasn't supposed to do. And so, in turn, the power was gone, and they went up as regular men, and God gave the enemy the victory that day. Well, Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord, even until the Lord, until the eventide, and he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. Dear God, what has happened? What has happened to us? What's going on here? The men returned. We don't need to send so many people. And so they just sent 3,000 people up. It's nothing. We can take it. But Ai smote of them about 36 men. And the soldiers and all Israel melted, as did the enemy the last time. Only this time it was Israel and the soldiers. Now Joshua, being surprised, wondered what happened. And so they rent their clothes and throw dust up on their head, you know, inquiring to see what's going on and what's happened. And Joshua said at last, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us unto the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwell on the other side of the Jordan. Even Joshua, upon this defeat, didn't say, Dear God, show me what happened. What did we do wrong? And then Joshua, God would have shown Joshua that you didn't call upon me. And besides that, there is trouble in the camp. Because you see, way back, if they would have called upon him before they went up against Ai, God would have told them, don't go, because you've got sin in the camp. And what's going to happen here is that you're going to get defeated. You need to take care of that sin that's in the camp. We've got the accursed thing in the camp. It's got to go. And Joshua should have hunted it out, gotten rid of it, and then said, okay, Lord, are we ready to take Ai? And the Lord says, I will go before you and defeat them. But he didn't. They didn't do that. They just went up and did it, didn't give a thought that there was a problem in the camp. And again, they didn't ask God before they went. There's the problem. They didn't ask God before they went. So he says, why didn't you just let us on the other side of the Jordan? That's good enough for me. And that's something how each time, you know, back in earlier times, they said, why didn't you just let us stay in Egypt? That's good enough for us. We were fine there. Why'd you bring us out here? Just to die? Well, we find this the same question along the same lines here. Now, look at verse 8 now. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? In other words, rumor's going to get out very quickly what's happened here. And it's going to come out that you're not strong enough to give them victory. And not only is Israel going to hear that, but also the enemy, the Canaanites, they'll also hear that. For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it. What are we going to do? And shall environ us around, surround us, and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? We're going to be eliminated. We couldn't even take Ai, and we're nothing now. And so we're defeated. We're broken. Isn't that something? What a sad, sad statement that Joshua should have stood. And instead of that, why he seemed to fall like the rest of them. And he says, you know, they're going to surround us. They're going to defeat us. And what's the enemy going to say? What's the enemy going to do? And on top of that, what about your name, dear Lord? What about your name? What's going to happen to it? And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up, wherefore thou liest thou thus upon thy face. What's the matter, Joshua? Stop your whining. I want you to get up, and you're going to face a problem here. We got a problem. And the problem is that you didn't contact me to see what the problem was before we went. Now, my dear friend, wonderful study. We're going to continue here at the 10th verse next time. So please, my dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?